Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Welcome to Clinically Speaking, where we discuss mental health and life coaching topics from a Christian perspective to help us to grow, develop, and maintain skills so that we may be elevated to the very best version of ourselves. I am your host, Sierra Renee, and I'm your friendipist. I'm here to love and encourage you like only a friend could, but I'm also going to educate, challenge, and empower you like your therapist should. And today's show topic is Mind Your Witness. You guys, I'm pretty excited about this one, so I want to go ahead and pray first, and then we can just go ahead and get right into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for all of your goodness, your mercies, your grace. Lord, you are just so amazing, and we just lift our hands up and completely worship you, Lord. Lord, I ask right now that you forgive us of our sins. Search our hearts, search our minds, search our behaviors. Should there be anything that is unclean or unlike you, Lord, that we need to confront, just put it before us so that we could get rid of it, Lord. Purge us of anything that is unclean, God. Forgive us of our sins of omission and commission, God. And I just want to pray right now that for those that are listening, that you just remove aside any distractions, so that their mind can receive a word from you, God. We know that this world is a very difficult place, particularly in this time, God, but we know that you are the source of our strength. So I'm praying right now for each and every one of us that you would help us to be a good witness to you, Lord. Allow our behavior to glorify you, God, and I just pray that you would just help us along the way. God, I'm praying for a word from you that will ultimately create a change in us. So in Jesus' name, we pray and we all say amen. All right, guys, so you have to excuse my nervousness on today. I'm a little extra nervous than I normally am because I'm always nervous anyway, but I'm, like, so busy right now. I literally just had a client to leave my office, and I have a client that is going to be pulling up at 7 o'clock, and then I have another one that is following that one, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. So my brain is going about 50,000 miles per hour. So, you know, I ask for y'all grace all the time anyway, so can you give me a little extra on today? You know what they say be careful what you pray for. I don't exactly like that one, but I would say be prepared for what you pray for, because I actually pray for this. I pray that God would bless me to can be able to consistently serve in this capacity so that I could step into my counseling practice full time. And baby, he showed up and he showed out, but I was not ready. I was not ready. So I want to encourage you, if you are praying to God for something, be prepared. Be prepared. God is answering blessed prayers, especially when your prayers are in align with his will. So be prepared so it don't catch you off guard. And I'm so grateful, Lord. I'm so grateful for all that you're doing. But when I tell you, I just wasn't ready, but I'm getting ready. I'm going to get ready now because I see him doing a wonderful thing, and I'm just so grateful for it. So that's a whole other show topic. We could talk about that maybe on Saturday or something. But be prepared. Prepare yourself for what you're praying for. Like, you answer him in faith, why not do it? Like, so prepare yourself. But I digress. Today we're talking about finding your room. Models, tools, theories, etc., from the field of psychology, the science of psychology, into our theological principles. So one of the topics that often comes up in session, and different theories will teach this as well, is self-control. Sometimes the clients will bring it up. Sometimes I have to bring it up, because I've noticed that the lack of self-control is a contributing factor to some of the challenges or concerns that the clients may be having. But however is brought up, is talked about, the biggest thing that people want to know is how. How do I develop self-control, or how do I increase self-control? Because it's one thing to acknowledge it, you know, whether it was you bringing it to the table or me saying, like, hey, maybe we should explore this. But it's another thing to actually begin to implement it and to utilize it into our daily lives. So that is a big thing that comes up. So today I want to offer you guys some tips to help you to increase your self-control. And then we'll tie in our spiritual principles, minding your witness, at the tail end, you know, we'll say the good part for last. So let's just first look at what self-control is. So self-control is our ability to put off or subdue our impulses, emotions, and behaviors in order to achieve, like, a longer-term goal. So that's the ability to say, pause, hold on, let me stop, because this is kind of what I want. This is my knee-jerk reaction. But having that self-control just means that we're able to stop that. Right now, I really want to just, like, scream. Okay, let me do a confession. I got a little bit of road rage. God is working on me. So I really just want to, like, scream and then swerve in front of this person. But if I had self-control, well, I do have self-control many times when I'm driving, the thoughts that I'm working on. So the self-control in me won't allow me to, like, peel off and then jump in front of that person. But that natural impulse is, let me show you something. But self-control is primarily rooted in our prefrontal cortex. So I'm nerding out on you guys a little bit because we clinically speaking, right? So because of that, because God, like, pre-wired that in us, we have the ability to respond when things arise with us. We have the ability to, like, plan. We have the ability to evaluate alternative actions. And ideally, we can avoid things that we will regret later. Look at God. Look at him. And pre-wiring us to be able to do these things, right? So because of that, because we have the larger frontal cortex, we're able to control that. So rather than just immediately responding, it's already hardwired into us that we can kind of stop, pause, think about it, and maybe, if necessary, come up with an alternative response. So that's where we talk about being responsive versus reactive, right? So here's a couple tips that can help you to be responsive versus reactive and increase your self-control. The first thing you need to know is that self-control can absolutely be increased. So, would y'all stop saying that's just how I am? Like, I'm just wired this way. I'm made like this. This is me. I just pop off. Can we stop? Now, let me say this. There are some people whose ability to have self-control be restricted because of certain conditions, maybe some brain injuries or things along that line. Their ability to have self-control may be restricted. A large portion of us who have the ability to increase our self-control. It's hardwired inside of us. I'm telling you guys this. God hardwired inside of us, but it's also on a scale. So it's a skill, which means that it's flexible, and it's on a range. So you can have a little self-control, and you can have a lot of self-control. So with some practice, you absolutely can build it up to those upper limits of self-control. So stop saying, like, oh, this is just me. This is how I am. No, no, it's not. You can increase. You can grow. You can do that. That's tip number one. Tip number two is we need to reduce the attractiveness of our temptations. You got to devalue that thing. So many times when we're being impulsive, we're driven by some perceived reward. Oh, my goodness, I'm going to look so good in this dress, even though I can't afford this dress. I need to be buying groceries or doing this, that, and the other, but I'm going to go ahead and buy this dress because I'm going to look good. I'm going to get likes on Facebook, or I don't know, my man going to think I look cute in this dress. My woman going to think I'm a look nice in this suit, so I'm going to just go ahead and buy this because suit and I'm going to look good. Or that piece of cake is going to taste phenomenal, so I'm just going to go ahead and eat it. Yes, I know I'm on a diet, but that cake, it looks so moist, and I just know it's going to taste so good. I'm going to really enjoy it. Or can I go there? Y'all can't answer me, so I'm just going to go there anyway. We might be like, oh, after I tell her how I really feel, I'm going to feel so much better. Yeah, I'm just going to cuss her out real quick. I'll pray about it later. But I'm going to feel good that I let her know exactly how I was feeling. Or some of us, you know, we get physical. I'm going to let them know after we get into this fight, I punch her, slap them, hit them, whatever the case may be. I get this off my chest, I'm going to feel a little better. Yeah. Those perceived rewards, trust me, they're fleeting and they're wrong. And 10 times out of 10, if you have a transformed spirit, it's going to result in feelings of regret. So you have to reduce the attractiveness of that temptation. Be real with yourself. This is temporary. It's not going to last. That's tip number two. Tip number three is you have to increase the attractiveness of the task at hand. So first you devalue your distraction. Now you have to increase the value of your task. What does it say about you that you're able to control your knee-jerk reaction to cuss somebody out or to punch somebody, hit somebody? What does it say about you as a person that you're able to control or you're able to honor your commitment to not cheat on your diet? You made a commitment. Many times we get into, like, groups and, you know, we have accountability partners and somebody that's checking in on us to say, how's your diet going? Or there's tons of groups on Facebook that we are part of saying, I'm drinking my green smoothie, guys. Or, check out my meal prepping. But we're not posting the cake that we ate at lunch. We're not doing that. So what would it say about you as a person if you got to honor, if you were actually honoring your commitment? You tapped into that preloaded trait, and you elevated your range. You see what I did there? Elevate. You elevated your range on a scale of self-control. You became a responsive person versus a reactive person. You are a person that's in control. You are awesome. You out here killing it. You are disciplined. Look at you, walking strong in your principles. that's got to feel good. Like, I'm literally feeling good as I'm saying this. Yes, I have integrity. Yes, I have morals. Yes, I honor my commitment. I am a woman of my word. I'm a man of my word. It feels good to say stuff like that. That's attractive. I want to be that. So you have to increase the attractiveness of that task. Sometimes we just kind of think of it as a small thing. Like, oh, yeah, I would just do it. It would just be good if I did these things. No, you're the bomb. That's awesome. That's amazing. You're part of an elite class now because you've been able to gain self-control in many areas of your life. Self-control applies to so many areas of our life. Mind, physical, work, body, all kinds of things. So you're the bomb. That's tip number three. Increase the attractiveness of the task. Tip number four is self-talk. Literally, guys. Talk yourself out of it. Talking it out really helps us to facilitate what's called metacognitive representation, which is a psych word for saying. It helps you to think about your own thinking. So, you know how we all have things that go on in our head that we don't say them out loud. But sometimes when they slip out too, you like, ooh, no, I shouldn't have said that. So we have those things that go on in our head, those impulses, those knee-jerk reactions, those things go on in our head. So I want to challenge you, maybe just say them out loud a little bit, because now you're giving a life to it. Sometimes when you hear your thoughts outside your head, you'll be like, man, that was stupid, or that was mean, or that was dumb, or that's not even me. Where did that come from? Oh, that must be that impulsiveness that's inside of me, too. I need to check that. Let me not do this, that, or the other. So literally talking it out loud can help you. So when you actually give that thing some life, you it should cause you to pause for the cause. Now, if it doesn't, we're going to have to take you to your prayer closet. We're going to have to take you to your prayer closet. But expressing it out loud can be a step to actually stopping. Not to the person. Now, if it's a situation, guys, I got to be clear. Let me be clear. If it's a situation where the person, you having an impulse to say some choice words to a person. Don't say it out loud to yourself if they can hear you. But maybe you step away and you kind of say it, and then you can have the opportunity to opt out of saying that in front of that person, or them prevent them from overhearing you say it anyway. But talk it out loud. Literally talk yourself out of some of the thoughts that you're having, and as a way of gaining increased self-control. So that's tip number four. Tip number four is self-talk. Tip number five is mind your business, but most importantly, mind your witness. So this is where we get to our integrative piece, right? Our integrative portion of our show. I'm going to read a scripture for you guys from the ESV. We're going to go to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 6 through 8. So this is dealing with the ascension, where, you know, Jesus, he came, he saw, he conquered. He came to conquer. He rose from the grave, and, you know, he was giving the disciples their last orders, you know. So I'm going to read for you guys. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. It says, So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria until the ends of the earth. I'm going to read it one more time because I don't like how I fumble through. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, it says, "So when they came together, they asked him, 'Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" So, you like, Sarah, what they got to do with me having self-control and all of that? As believers, we know that we're all witnesses for Christ, right? And that's not just through us telling them about the good things of Christ, but that's in our deeds and actions too. That's what acts are, actions, okay? This is what you need to do. So when I speak about minding your witness, I'm talking about just that, your behaviors, your words too, but primarily I want you to focus on your behaviors because of what Jesus told you to do. So Jesus essentially told them, he told them first, mind your business. Mind your business. He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Mind your business. That's not for you to worry about. But what I will do is I'm going to give you power when the Holy Spirit comes down upon you. So he's saying he's going to leave us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us so that we can preach the gospel. He's going to give us the courage and great mind amidst all of the persecution to face our opposed enemies. He wants us to profess the name of Jesus Christ, and he wants us to abide in his truth. We bear witness to all the good things that Jesus did and who he is. So he wants to make a way for us by giving us the Holy Ghost, leaving us with the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to go and spread this all over the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's everywhere, everywhere. So Jesus is like, this is what I want you to do. I need you to be my witness. This is important. You need to tell people about me, the Christ. You need to tell them about all of the miracles and things that I worked and my death and the resurrection and how I ascended to heaven and how, you know, you've been working alongside me. But this kingdom, no, don't worry about that. Like, it's, this stuff right here is going to be temporary that you're doing right now. All this is going to pass away. So mind your business as it relates to that. But mind your witness is what I really need you to do, because this stuff is important. This is what's important. This is the stuff that's good right here. So, I'm sorry, y'all. Give me one second. There's somebody. Hold on. Sorry. I apologize. There's somebody at the door. Told you guys I'm busy in here today, so I apologize. But he wants us to mind our witness. Now, we do not have opportunity to walk along Jesus and witness his miracles firsthand, but we all have an encounter with Jesus as believers. We've encountered Jesus. And there are people that are going to be watching us because we have had an encounter with Jesus, the Savior, the person who performed miracles, the person who says that he's transforming lives. And we say we know him. So we should look differently, right? There's people that's watching. They looking. We need to look differently. Jesus. You encountered Jesus. You ought to have control because you encountered Jesus. You're able to subdue your impulses, emotions, and behaviors in order to achieve a longer-term goal, which is to bear witness to these people so that they are saved, so that they know God, so that God is glorified, right? You got to mind your witness. When you want to cuss somebody out, you have to mind your witness. What's your witness going to say if you out here cussing people out? What do your witness look like? We in a day and time when everybody got their phone literally glued to their hand. All they need to do is see Sierra, the Christian, cussing somebody out. And then they're going to go to my Facebook page and say, So about that Jesus, right, I guess he ain't through with you yet. Well, yes, but I also need to always be minding my witness, because ultimately my witness is a reflection of him. People are going to look at me and they're going to see the bad that I do, and they're going to put it off on him. But that's not how it should be. That's not how it should be. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When people see me, when people see you, those ones who proclaim to know Jesus, they ought to see him. They ought to be glorifying him. They ought to be like, okay, so I got a question. How, I don't know how you handled that situation, because I know personally I would have flipped. I would have did X, Y, and Z, but you handled that really well. How'd you do that? Because I'm concerned about minding my witness. My witness is important to me. Now that you've seen that, can I tell you about my Jesus? Because he's the source of my strength. Can I tell you about him? You've seen that man. Because people are only going to listen to about 10% of what you say anyway. They looking at you to see what you really do. They looking to see what you really do. So if we're minding our witness, and that is, if that's our good deeds and it's glorifying the Father, now we got an open door for people to say, okay, yeah, let me tell me more. That's a great way to help us remember, to help us to move our self-control down that range, because we got a greater purpose. We got a greater purpose. The long-term goal is that we want to glorify God. It's not about, like, instant or personal satisfaction right now. Because, sure, we can have that. But like I said, if you have a spirit or heart towards God, that's going to end in regret. Because that little feeling, that little good feeling that you think you get, that perceived reward for eating that cookie, or cussing that person out, or just spending that money and you know you shouldn't have, that goes away. That goes away. They call it buyer's remorse. They call it food remorse. We have so much regret when we give in to those impulses, those negative impulses. We have so much regret. But if we're minding our witness, if that's in our mind all the time, how does this look towards my witness? What does this look like? How is this going to glorify my God? That self-control can start to inch up. And I'll tell you what, God love that. Oh, you doing it for the kingdom? I got your back. I'll help you. I'll encourage you. I'll be your strength. You weak? Okay, I'm strong. So now we've increased our self-control. Just simply by thinking about our witness. So, ooh, close to it, guys. 2 minutes left. I get excited when I'm talking about God and how he comes and he shows up in our lives. I don't got time for a recap, but this is going to be available on the Facebook page, as well as you can always go back and listen to a recording. Send me a message if you have questions about it. You know, like I said, this is not an exhaustive list of ways that you can increase your self-control. There's plenty more tools that we can start to implement as well. But I think this is a pretty good start for you to start edging up on that range. You can come follow me on first. Thank you to our executive producer, Brother James Brown, and for Blog Talk Radio for offering us this platform. He has an amazing show too, you guys. So follow the Are You an Asset or a Liability? There's some really great people that are serving Christ on there and giving out some really good information. You can find me on Facebook at Elevated Counseling and Coaching. If you got questions, I would love to serve you. I would love to answer those questions and walk alongside this journey of life with you. So send me a message or go to my website, Elevated Counseling and Coaching too. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Lord, we just trust you. We thank you for being the source of our strength and helping us to control ourselves in times, God. When we are weak, you are perfectly strong. God, so as we walk through this journey of gaining self-control, be with us. Keep us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. I love you guys lots, and I will see you Saturday at 6:30. Have a wonderful evening.